Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and we will be focusing our main thoughts on verse 13. I can do all things. Paul says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." One thing I was thinking of as I read this, he starts out by saying, "My dearly beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved," and he ends up, "So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." And I was wondering, is he talking in both places when he addresses it as dearly beloved? Is he talking in both places about his brethren, or is he in one place talking about his brethren and the other his Lord? Could be either way, couldn't it? But I thought it was interesting that he repeated that same phrase twice in that same verse. "But I beseech you, Odius, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." There are a lot of commands of God, and they are all difficult commands. In fact, the commands of God are all impossible for man. But as I read and meditated for a bit on these verses of Scripture, I thought to myself, how many times or how many of these commands does Paul give us that are extremely difficult? I notice here, for instance, in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Is that difficult to do? I tell you what, it's difficult for me. In fact, I find it must be impossible, because I don't always do it. Yesterday was one of those days when I guess it was kind of down in spirit. And it carried on over into last night. Thankfully, though, in those times, the Lord does come and He returns us to a state of rejoicing. Today, if my heart has been glad, I have been rejoicing today. I'm thankful that there's very, very, very few of the Lord's days that I do not rejoice. In fact, it's been a long, long time since one of these Lord's days has come that I did not rejoice in it, and I'm thankful that that is so today. But to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says, rejoice. I'm telling you that is an impossible thing. And I believe it's impossible for us to rejoice in the Lord any time except by the Spirit of the Lord that dwells within us. Because there really isn't anything in the Lord that the world sees to rejoice in. I think when I think of this, I think of the old prophet's statement, Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter. Lord, who hath believed our report? And unto whom is the Lord, the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, why, Isaiah? Well, because he's like a root out of a dry ground. I can walk out here and I can find a root sticking up out of the ground, you know, and if it's a dry ground, there's nothing beautiful about it whatsoever. And that's the image that we are presented that the world has of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even those of us who are saved, our first impression of Jesus is there's no comeliness about Him that we should rejoice in Him at all, is there? There's just nothing there for the world to rejoice in, much less always. In other words, in all things. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Another difficult thing to do. Let your moderation be known. Do you ever lose your temper? No, we never do that, do we? We're always on even keel, aren't we? No, we're not always on an even keel. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, sometimes we're angry. And no wonder the apostle says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Because oftentimes we do get angry. What about be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing? Are you ever anxious? Do you ever have those moments when you feel like that just everything is going wrong and you just cannot bear it anymore? Are you ever worried about anything? Do you ever have overbearing concerns? Yeah, I'm afraid that we have that also. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I noted that word request. Not a demand, right? But a request. Sometimes, again, I'm really made to wonder, Lord, are you hearing? Are you hearing my prayers? But I have to realize that, you know, my prayers are. I have to look at them as requests because my prayers are not always in line with God's will. Not that our prayers are wrong, not that the things that we desire are in themselves wrong, but sometimes those things that we desire are just not in accordance to God's will. So we make our requests known unto God, but we do it with thanksgiving. So there are several things in here, in these few verses of Scripture, that we find extremely difficult. But when we get to verse 13, again, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And as I think about this, and I've thought about it many times in the past, but when I think about this, that is a strong statement, isn't it? And normally speaking, we might say that anyone that would make a statement like that would be boastful. Arrogant, full of pride. But the apostle, of course, moderates what he's saying here when he says, through Christ, which strengthens me. But that still is a tremendous statement to make. For anybody to make, I can do all things. Now, one of the things that the apostle is specifically, and I think he is probably in the back of his mind, all of these things that we have just talked about, to rejoice in the Lord always, let your moderation be known, careful for nothing, but be anxious for nothing. All of these things, I believe the apostle in the back of his mind had in view when he said, I can do all things. We can do all things if it is by the strength and the power, by the grace of God, we can do all things. But when you think of it, that is a tremendous statement, isn't it? That is a broad statement. Now, of course, this is, I don't want to say just opposite to, but it does take into account what Jesus said in John chapter 15. And what does he say? In John chapter 15, verse 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, what can you do? Nothing. But therein, you see, takes away the boast, doesn't it? Eliminates the boast. I can do all things. No, you can do nothing. Except with Christ. But with Christ, we can do all things. That it's still a tremendous statement, because when you really think about it, what has God commanded us to do? Just think about the things that God has commanded us to do. Now, what the apostle lists here is just a short list, isn't it? It's just a very, very short list. I mean, the Bible is full of commands, beginning with the 10, right? Thou shalt... What's the first one? Love the Lord thy God
and Him only shalt thou serve. Right? And it goes on down the line. But can we do this? Now, I've heard people say, well, nobody can love the Lord with all of his heart and mind and soul. Well, I agree if we're trying to do it of our own selves. Without me, you can do nothing. The truth of the matter is, Paul says, for in Him we live, move, and have our being. But that's everybody, isn't it? The truth is, we can't bat an eyelash without Him. That's the reason the apostle says that He is the Savior of who? All men. But especially of them that believe. That's the key to it, isn't it? So, yes, the very breath that we breathe, we can't breathe anything. Because when He calls the Spirit home, what's going to happen? We're going to die. And as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there is no discharge in that war. You can't get out of it. Right? No. You're there for the duration, as they say. But with Christ, we never die. Right? According to John chapter 11, we never really die. The body is dead because of sin, right? And the outward man perisheth, but the inward man, what happens? Is renewed day by day. So, with Christ, yeah, if we can do that, we can do all things. But there are those commandments. And yes, they're not easy, are they? If it were possible for man to do those things that are commanded of him by God, then we wouldn't need a Savior. But we do need a Savior because without Him, we can do nothing. I can do all things, Paul says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But one of the things that he refers to also, and boy, here is one that is really tough. I mean, along with the others, here is one that is really tough. You say, well, what is that? Contentment. You know what that means? To be content. Now, the apostle gives us a pretty good idea of what this is all about. For he says in verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. I'm sorry, in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Do you ever wish that you were something that you are not? That you were somewhere that you are not? Or that you were not somewhere that you are? It's a difficult thing to really be content. Now, once again, you know, if everything is going our way, so to speak, right? It's easy to be content. But you know, you don't know what contentment is. No one really knows what the experience of contentment is until things are not going our way. When everything is going our way, things are going just as we think they ought to go, well, you know, it's easy to be satisfied, isn't it? But let the trials begin to come, and then can we really be content? The apostle says, here, I have learned. Well, how do you learn? Well, first of all, why would it be necessary for the apostle to learn? What is the learning process all about? Why do you learn something? Oh. What does the term learn imply? Well, it implies that you didn't know something, right? There was something that you did not know, else you can't learn it. After you once know it, you don't learn it anymore. So, but the apostle says, I have learned. In other words, these things don't come to us like the rain falling on our head. To this earthly man, these things are not just normal. They have to be learned. You know what Jesus said? He said, come all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and do what? And learn of me. That's really what this Christian life is all about, isn't it? It is learning of Jesus. And in that learning, what do? We mentioned this morning that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, right? Well, how is that process accomplished? It is through learning. Again, Isaiah says in that 53rd chapter of his writings, he said, and by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. This thing is a thing of knowledge. Reminds me of, again, of what Brother Mark LaCour was talking about the other night at Cheetah, when he's talking about its words. It's not in pictures. How many pictures are there in the Word of God? None. But there are many words. And that's in accordance with what he says. That's in accordance with his way of teaching us. It's with words. It's not in drawing pictures and stuff like that, but it's in words. We learn of Christ. The Apostle Paul also says in Ephesians, he says, ye have not so learned Christ. He uses that phrase. Ye have not so learned Christ. There are some things that we do learn. We learn, if it's righteousness, we learn of Christ. If it's unrighteousness, we have not learned that of Christ, have we? But it's through learning, it's through knowledge, and this comes by experience. We think again I think again of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. For tribulation worketh what? Patience, and patience experience, right? And experience, though, works hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So, tribulation worketh patience, patience experience. And what is experience? It's learning, isn't it? We learn these things. So the apostle says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Then he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer want. You realize that we most of the time think that our problem is with not having enough, right? Hey, well, you know, it's no problem to be content with having an abundance. Not so. Do you realize or understand that sometimes, in fact, most of the time, that people that have the most are also the most covetous and the greediest? They never have enough. The Old Testament writer says that the eye is never satisfied. He also says that the belly is never full, right? You can't fill it up, Brother Dale. You just ate probably a pretty nice lunch. But what do you think is going to happen around 6 o'clock this afternoon, huh?
That lunch will...
You're just going to pass that one over and...
Yeah,
right. No. Why? Because it's never full. It's never satisfied. Hell, though, is never satisfied, too. That's what the Bible says. It's never full. It's never full. But my point is that Paul said he had to learn how to handle, in other words, how to be, have this contentment in both states, whether he abounded or whether he was abased, whether he had much or whether he had little. He had to learn both in both cases. I've thought about this several times in the past. In Romans chapter 8, one of the, this is as far as we, a sovereign grace people are concerned, Romans chapter 8 is, that's our chapter, isn't it? We love it. But there's some things there that are interesting. For instance, the apostle down the end of that chapter, he is giving us the assurance of what the sacrifice of Jesus means. And he's telling us that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God as it is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And he names all of these things. Verse 35, what does he say? Tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. He says, verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Now, this is just another way of saying, isn't it? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But then in verse 38, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, and he's talking about again things that cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But he first mentions death. And that one we can understand very easily. But then he says, nor life. And my thoughts on this have been, really, that you know it's more dangerous to live than it is to die. For instance, like in the Revelation, it tells us that blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth and forevermore, for they shall rest and their works do follow them. The apostle says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But why is life more dangerous than death? Because when death comes, our trials, tribulations, temptations, everything is over, isn't it? But guess what? As long as we live, there are trials, tribulations, persecutions, temptations. All of these things are attacking us day after day after day. And you know, the difficulty in being content is in living, isn't it? If you die, it's all over. But you find the problem being content in living. What does life hold for you? Can't think of his name right now, but one of the old church divines wrote a book called The Crook in the Lot.
Boston,
was it? But basically, that's what it was all about, is being content, even though the lot that is dealt you is not a straight, easy path. The hand that's dealt you. Can we be content? But oftentimes it's reflected in our attitude, well, I'm just not going to do this or that, or I don't want to do this or that, or I can't do this or that, right? Do you ever have those thoughts? Sure you do. We all do. But ultimately, we find out as the Lord's people that we can do those things. Not by our own might, but rather by His Spirit. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Is it being boastful then to say, I can do all things? No, not as long as we add the other, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There are lots of things that we face, all of us, that are difficult. Did God ever say this Christian life is going to be easy? No. In the world ye shall suffer. Right? In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Lord, we sang that song a little earlier. Christian walk cheerfully through the strong storm. You see, again, that's what it really comes down to. The Christian life really comes down to this. Knowing that God will have His way. But knowing also that His way is the good way, and being able to rejoice in it. I preached a sermon one time, and I've mentioned it a couple of times since, in which the whole sermon was this: you don't need to worry whether or not God's will is going to be done. In other words, when we pray, as Christ told us to pray, Thy will be done, we're not praying as if it might not be done. What we're really praying is that His will be found in our own minds as right and good. Can we really say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? You don't need to worry, though, about whether God's will is going to be done. Our part is, what we should be concerned about is whether or not we are happy with His will. Do we find peace and contentment in the will of God? The apostle says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the context of it really is, he's talking about contentment. If he had plenty to eat, he was content. If he didn't, he was content. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the apostle says, for some think that gain is what? Godliness. But what is great gain? Yeah. Contentment. Do you have contentment with Christ? You can have contentment. And contentment is the opposite of what? Covetousness, lust, envy, strife, all of those things. Contentment. Are you content with your lot in life? Say, well, I'm content with my lot in life. Well, what if it changes tomorrow? Will you still be content? Whether it's up or whether it's down, will you still be content And this contentment, of course, has to do, again, with the will of God. Are you content to serve God in whatever circumstances you find yourself? And we find ourselves in a lot of them, don't we? Every day, every hour, we find ourselves having to really ask ourselves that question: am I content in Christ? Do I find rejoicing in serving the Lord? Lord, what is your will? Thy will be done on earth as it is